925.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We continue with our second hour of the Paracast with Richard Smalley. The book is called Supernatural, and we've been focusing on long questions and answers, I guess, about the nature of reality and whether we create our own reality. But then we get to the larger question, Richard, what if we have the Matrix reality where maybe we're all asleep somewhere and some massive computer system is directing our every action or expectation?
Well, you know, the answer to that, you know, in a way is...
I hope not.
Well, in a sense, it's kind of the answer that Descartes gave, because he asked him, you know, that very question, in the 17th century. And he said, well, how do I know I'm not being deluded, you know, my entire life by some cruel demon? And, you know, it's a very Matrix-like question.
Descartes got his initial impetus, I think, as he was marching from Spain to Bohemia as part of the army, and he was told that by an angel that came to him in a vision or a dream that the answer was in what, measurement and number or something. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
I don't remember the exact details, but the story does go something like that. But you know, in a sense, what I'm talking about here is simply that, you know, Descartes saying, well, if I don't know anything else, and I may not know anything else, at least I know I'm experiencing something. There's something having this experience. And, you know, he took that in his own kind of philosophical direction. But, you know, I think that basic stance, you know, makes sense. Yeah, you know, I think, therefore I am, or I experience, therefore I am.
Well, and the converse is true, too. You think, therefore you are.
Right, right. So, you know, I think there's that, element in it. You know, he had his own interpretation, which I'm not going to necessarily go into because I don't necessarily agree with all of it. But, you may not know whether, you know, the reality you experience is actual, but, you know, at least you still know that there's kind of a you having it, whatever this you is. I mean, it gets funny, of course, because, you know, if you believe a lot of, particularly Eastern, but not only Eastern philosophies, it turns out that they would say that the you that's having this experience is, you know, the kind of the core of the delusion, which is, you know, it's an interesting subject to explore. I don't necessarily agree with it myself, but, you know, there's some people have taken it in that direction that we are being deluded by this cruel demon, and it's our kind of personal egos.
Well, then how would you explain moments of gnosis?
Well, I guess the way that you explain it would be that, you know, if this kind of experience is delusory, we must have at least some capacity for experiencing reality and truth. And those most moments of gnosis would then be, you know, some of those moments of truth that somehow permeate through the layers of the Matrix.
Right. The software program.
Right. Right.
Of course, we wonder what happens to the software program when it develops bugs or is infected by malware. Or maybe that's the problem. The other thing, of course, about reality is whether we are all just somebody's video game.
And I, you know, the answer to kind of a lot of that is, even if it's true, it's kind of a hard thing to go around believing in your day-to-day life. And, you know, the thing about a lot of skeptics is these questions are interesting to, you know, answer. You know, I can doubt, you know, the existence of everyday reality, but in practice, I'm going to act as if it still exists. And, you know, that's really the only way to do it. Because otherwise, you know, therein lies madness.
Right. A slap in the face and a kick in the tail end, hurts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and, you know, those have been, you know, some of the kind of refutations of it that have been made. Now, there are lots of other things going on as well, which is, you know, it could be that, you know, the fact that a slap and a kick hurt, you know, is itself kind of, you know, an organic part of the delusion. You know, one could go and look at that point of view. From my own perspective, to kind of, you know, put this in, you know, some kind of, perspective, I think these questions are interesting to look at and to think about, you know, not necessarily because they're going to like lead you in some, you know, wildly new direction of belief, you know, about your universe or about your life, but, you know, they stretch your mind and, you know, they at least ask you to accommodate, certain possibilities that most people, you know, don't want to take for granted. Even most, you know, educated, you know, thoughtful, supposedly thoughtful people don't, take for granted.
One thing that struck me in your book, and probably the shortest chapter, which is, chapter 10 called Hidden Masters.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, what is the operative inspiration that creates a Buddha or a Christ type figure or a Lao Tzu or, you know, one of any of a number of what are now considered masters? What do you think separates their process from the average person's process? And what are the aspects of their separation that make them stick down through history?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I think one thing is that, you know, what they tended to have in common is that they've, you know, all, expanded human consciousness and, awareness in, new and different ways that were needed at the time. You know, we kind of tend to, for us, love is a cliche, you know, at this point, as we remember as Valentine's Day approaches. But, you know, all you need is love, you know, I mean, you know, you can go through as many songs as I can, you know, on this whole theme. But really it was Christianity, that, brought love to the fore. No one really talked about love as kind of a central thing in the universe before Christianity. And that was, you know, probably Christ's contribution, that, you know, he kind of intuited, you know, that love is a much more important, force in the universe than it had been given credit for. Even if a lot of, you know, the ethical teachings that he, gave were, you know, not totally unlike those that, you know, other religions and other traditions gave, as well. So I think that possibility of opening minds and just totally new directions is an extremely important part of it. You know, then there's this question like, well, what constitutes something that's, you know, a being who's, shall we say, superhuman? Is a superhuman being one who's kind of superhuman in functioning? That is to say, someone who can, you know, materialize at will and so on. You know, possibly, and, you know, there are stories of that, and, you know, I have to say I've never had any experience like that, so I don't know. I'm not really all that interested in dismissing it out of hand.
Like the seven labors of Hercules.
Right. Another aspect of these kind of superior individuals, you know, that we do sometimes see, is a much higher ethical level, than the normal person, normally displays, you know, and that, you know, what actually happened at the crucifixion of Christ and so on is, you know, a subject for, you know, hours and hours of radio shows, but
on this show, we have to do a break and then we'll get into more of this. Maybe that's why we like our superheroes like Superman.
Right.
And by the way, if you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, we'd love to hear from you. You can write us news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. Or send us a tweet. We're known on Twitter as The Paracast. We have Richard Smalley joining Gene and Chris in
The Paracast.
Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, Chris O'Brien asked the question that the late Mayor Edward Koch asked. How am I doing? You're doing fine, my friend. The book is Supernatural from Richard Smalley, exploring the frontiers of reality. But it's almost a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway because I raise it. The fact that we so much love these superheroes who are so much better than we are. They have these powers, almost godlike. And if you look at the trailer for the new rendition of Superman called Man of Steel, they're trying to present him almost as a godlike figure, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's a curious irony. Where did the notion of the Superman come from? Well, you know, it actually comes from Nietzsche, you know, the philosopher Nietzsche, you know, and he said, you know, God is dead, long live the Superman. You know, that's almost the verbatim quote of Nietzsche's. Now, I am fairly strongly convinced, for reasons that are too intricate to go in here, that, you know, at least some of the people who were involved in designing Superman were at least aware of Nietzsche's ideas. And, you know, this becomes like another topic in itself, like what extent do esoteric mystical ideas permeate mass culture, and how do they get around to doing that? But, you know, the other thing about Superman is kind of a semi-divine figure. And again, one of the things that makes him semi-divine, and that's kind of one of the points I was, making earlier, is not only his, capacity to, stop trains and, do all that sort of thing, but, his sort of superior ethical, stance, that he's always fighting for, what used to be known as, truth, justice, and the American way. And, this kind of ethical superiority, in a way, is as much part of the Superman mystique as the, superpowers themselves.
Well, the one thing about Superman is he always had a higher ethical standard. But one thing started
Gene, hold on. When Superman came out, he was nothing more than a very artful, well-calculated propaganda tool during World War II.
Well, we understand how they would use him because of that. But the essence of Superman is he has a higher moral, ethical behavior because he comes from this advanced race of beings from Krypton.
So what is Kryptonite?
That's the devil, I guess. But the one thing about it is that the later class of superheroes, which came from Stan Lee, for example, they were troubled, psychologically impacted by their superpowers, or just generally screwed up anyway, and through some accident or fate, they become superheroes, and that only makes them crazier and wackier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. You know, a genre starts out, all genres start out kind of fairly simple and cartoon-like. And, as people keep exploring the possibilities of them, they get both weirder and more sophisticated. And, I think that's probably true the whole superhero mythos.
But really interesting, I think, dovetails into an interesting subject. And you have a very interesting chapter in your book, Supernatural, about Atlantis. Mm-hmm. And I think in the New Age community, Atlantis has almost transcended into this realm of superheroes and exalted levels of technology and knowledge and some sort of connection to some sort of divine imperative. Why don't you explain to us your thinking about Atlantis as you put it in your chapter heading, Atlantis Then and Now?
Okay. Well, Atlantis, first is kind of a bit of history. The Atlantis myth was brought to us by Plato in a dialogue of his called the Timaeus, and he wrote another one called the Critias, which is sort of a follow-up. And in it, he claimed that the Greek sage Solon visited Egypt around 600 BC and was told by the priests there that, they basically said, you Greeks are just children. You have no sense of history at all. Our history goes back, thousands and thousands of years. And, part of the story was the myth of Atlantis, this, continent that, was in the, I guess Plato basically said it's by the, the Straits of Gibraltar, the Pillars of Heracles, as it was known in those days. And this continent, went through an incredible cataclysm and sank, and the year given, is translated into our terms, 9600 BC. Well, you know, this is all kind of, you know, this is all a bit improbable sounding, but it's starting to sound a little less improbable these days because, you know, we're starting to, you know, think of whole countries that may be submerged by rising ocean levels from global warming, like the Maldive Islands in the Indian Ocean. You know, I mean, you know, this is kind of like a modern day Atlantis waiting to happen. I mean, the sea levels rise, you know, above a certain level. You know, the Maldive Islands are going to be underwater. Interestingly enough, in that date that Plato gives, you know, 9600 BC, is actually pretty close to the end of the last ice age.
Correct.
And we know at the end of the last ice age, you know, a lot of bits of land that were formerly above water went underwater. So, you know, I mean, there's no, I mean, even from a purely, like, totally straight scientific viewpoint, there's no reason to disbelieve in Atlantis, you know, as such. It's not, it's not like paranormal phenomena or UFOs where you have to kind of, you know, really stretch your view of reality to, you know, even make sense of it. Here, no, this is according to, you know, standard science, this is what happened. There's no reason, a comparatively advanced civilization couldn't have existed, that, you know, was inundated. Plato's own account of it is very clearly allegorical in a lot of ways. He was into sacred geometry and that kind of thing, and a lot of his account, you know, has a lot to do with that.
Well, there was also issues of abuse of power and punishment. The end of the civilization occurred because of the Atlanteans not, you know, maintaining that higher ideal.
Right. And, you know, most of, you know, at least the contemporary, you know, myths of Atlantis, you know, from, oh, I don't know, things like, Theosophy, from, Edgar Cayce materials, you know, and similar sources, you know, say that they, the Atlanteans became, you know, corrupt at a, you know, a spiritual level, even using, occult forces, you know, for, low or sinister ends.
We'll go into more of what happens in the fate of losing your spiritual grounding. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Just parenthetically, Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, isn't that what they say about us now, that we're kind of losing our way, so much focus on technology that we don't focus so much on our spirituality? And maybe Atlantis, if that's what their failure was, if there was an Atlantis, that should be a teaching lesson to us?
I think it should be a lesson to us whether or not it ever happened to Atlantis. I mean, I think there's a serious danger that, this kind of, hypnotic fascination with technology, at the very least, it's, this kind of huge distraction. I mean, people just, you just go around and everybody's just staring into their smartphones these days,
Richard, I'm even texting now. I mean, yeah. I swore I would never have my nose buried into my phone, and I'm telling you, I'm doing 20, 30 texts a day, and I'm not happy about it.
Well, it's useful. It can be useful. It's just that people start to do it, almost kind of because they don't know what else to do. Or, like the teenage girl who's, who's always on the cell phone, just to make it seem as if she's popular, that kind of thing.
Well, I see, by the way, nowadays, more and more people, the last, 5 or 10 years, they walk around all day long, and they've got their mobile phone in their ear, and they just can't stay away from it. They're doing a transaction, and they have to pay for something, but they're on the phone. Now, my problem is the other way, which is I'm not usually talking to somebody when I'm at the checkout counter, if that's when the phone rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think, the danger there, with that technology is, is it spiritually corrupting? I don't know. I think cognitively, it's very distracting, and a lot of the kind of cognitive disorders we're seeing are the result of this kind of just increased dissociation. We're, doing too many things at a time.
Not to mention the side of the head brain cancer.
Right, right. Yeah, all that stuff too. But, people are just, doing too many things at once. Your brain kind of gets dissociated as a result of doing that. I mean, I certainly do it. Most people do it. It's not so much an ethical judgment, but it's part of one of the concerns about our civilization today. You know, our awareness of our own surroundings, you know, is often really just way in the background. But, you know, beyond a certain point, that can't be that good.
Well, do you see this progressing forward in kind of an obvious way towards some sort of, I don't know, twisted transhumanism where humans become further and further disassociated from their humanity and become more robotic and sort of bought into the digital age? Or what do you think?
I think what one thing that we always kind of have to remember is that, you know, and prophecy and futurology, which are similar arts, you know, are also things that are discussed in my book. We tend always to assume that the future is going to be kind of a continuation of the past. That is to say, any current trend is just going to continue on and on forever until it reaches some kind of extreme. And, you know, circumstances don't really work that way. There are always these changes and disconnects and kind of radical shifts that nobody expected. So I don't see any reason why something like that can't occur. Goes without saying that it is unexpected that, I among everybody else, you know, not expecting it. But that doesn't mean, you know, it's not going to happen. We may suddenly someday everyone may just sort of say, you know, the stuff is boring. Let's do something else with our time.
Right. Start a commune in southern Colorado.
Right.
You know, one of the chapters that I was really quite fascinated by is chapter 3 in your book, Supernatural. Does prophecy work? Now, we're looking forward here in time. And obviously, throughout human history, there have been sages and prophets and people that have projected ahead. Nostradamus, you have a chapter on Nostradamus. Where do you come down on prophecy for our listeners? I was fascinated by this particular chapter, and I'd love for you to elucidate some of your thinking about that.
Well, as far as prophecy is concerned in general, you know, I guess I tend to be fairly skeptical. You know, just because the record of prophecy just hasn't been that good. You know, going back to the apocalyptic, you know, mentality that I was talking about at the beginning of the interview, you know, Christianity, for example, really got its start because the first generation of Christians thought the end of the world was literally at hand. You know, this just didn't happen. You know, and Christianity ever since has been kind of like trying to figure out what to do as a result of that failure, usually by predicting that the end of the world is at hand now.
Reconciliation is not an option.
Right. Now, prophecy is interesting in a lot of ways. One thing is, what can you expect a prophet to say? Well, for the prophets of the type we're talking about, I mean, you have to expect, you know, some kind of radical dislocation, some kind of great changes, because otherwise, you know, who would care? You know, if some kind of Nostradamus or Edgar Casey said, came out and said, well, things are just pretty much going to be the way they are for quite a while, this person might actually have a fairly good chance of being right. But who would be interested in it? Who would want to read that? There's no market for it. So the apocalyptic prophet, you know, as I've been calling him, you know, is very, very happy, to predict all kinds of disasters and dislocations and, you know, the moon turning to blood and so on. You know, contrast it to, you know, the more mundane type of prophet, you know, which you might call a futurologist.
Kurzweil.
Yeah. You know, now these guys, I mean, you know, most of them have no particular occult bent. How do they predict the future? Well, they predict the future by, you know, saying, well, if current trends continue, X and such is going to happen. But, you know, as we know, current trends don't continue. You know, I read a fascinating book a couple of years ago called The Year 2000 that was written in 1967. And, you know, by Herman Kahn, who is kind of one of the great, you know, real or imagined futurologists of the time. And, you know, he got some things right. One thing he got right was that computers would be used for banking. But, you know, he also predicted that, you know, this kind of continuation and growth of, what used to be called the welfare state. And, you know, no, actually, the welfare state is, you know, whether you approve of it or not, the welfare state in not only the U.S., but in most of the world is actually retrenched quite a bit. He was making his predictions, which were perfectly reasonable on the basis of what they knew at the time. By the way, there is nothing in that book, absolutely zero, zip, zero, about religion. And in those days, it was kind of generally assumed that religion was kind of this quaint survival from the past. And, you know, in this age when, you know, we would be all, you know, running, living, you know, being in Mylar suits and flying around in spaceships like George Jetson, there would be interest in religion.
Science has become kind of a replacement for outmoded religious structures and control systems.
And by the way, we now have also technology. We believe our iPhones, we believe our iPads, and we believe our Macs, and maybe we believe our Samsung Galaxies or whatever. We have Richard Smalley joining Gene and Chris here in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more. All more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com. The big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, the book under discussion is Supernatural, Writings on an Unknown History. We're trying to make sense of it all with Richard Smalley. Chris?
Yeah, we have, is our custom, we have a number of questions from our participants at forum.theparacast.com. The first question, Richard, comes from Conrad Hartman, who has been posting for almost a year at the forum. This is an interesting one. I'd like to get your take on it. He asks, mortification of the flesh has occurred in various religions around the world. A number of Catholic saints, as well as other figures, including Pope John Paul II, that's news to me, practice self-flagellation among other acts. To what extent do these acts serve an ecstatic function, that is, in addition to serving as a gesture of humility, do these activities not also serve to drive the participants into trance states and ecstatic visionary experiences? Good question.
Yeah, I think there's something going on with that. I mean, you know, just to view it in kind of very prosaic terms, you know, it looks like, and I have no experience with this myself, you know, a certain mild types of flagellation can probably, stimulate the, the natural opiates in the brain, whatever they're called. I've forgotten what the name is.
Well, dopamine and
there's
others. I mean, to me, let's lick the frog. I mean, that's way easier, but continue.
So, yeah, I think part of it, is to, generate ecstasy. I mean, you know, there's another fact is that, you know, particularly in Catholicism, particularly in the last, 400 years, there's a element, if you just look at the art, just look at it without, any kind of preconception without knowing what it is, there's this incredible sadomasochistic element in it. I don't think that was there way back when. The medieval people didn't generally portray Christ in, you know, with kind of bleeding all over the place. And the Russian Orthodox, have very, very strict, the Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, I suppose I should say, very, very strict rules about how sacred art is to be made, always forbade that kind of art on the grounds that it would kind of lead to base passions. So, I mean, you really have to ask yourself, what kind of, sadomasochistic impulse is there in here? I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess the classic, you know, case for me is remember, you've certainly seen the movie Carrie.
Right, of course. Yeah. The famous, Sissy Spacek, became a star.
Right. And, you know, for me, the creepiest thing in the whole movie was,
when they dumped a bucket of blood on her.
No, it wasn't. It was the mother and her and the weird like Jesus crucifix she had in this closet in the house carry into. That was like much more.
Yeah, that was really creepy. You know, well, how about Los Hermanos de Penitentes, the penitent brothers of the penitentes, who to this day in southern Colorado and northern New Mexico practice very almost Islamic sounding rituals of being naked and marching over cactus beds and flagellating themselves with cat o' nine tails and in some possible stories actually crucify one of the most worthy brothers on Good Friday. I mean, we do still have in the modern 21st century, we do still have sects of Christians that actually practice these very self-abusive rituals.
And as we all know from Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, the Opus Dei is sometimes lumped in with that.
Not necessarily accurately, but...
Yeah, that's kind of controversial. But, you know, self-flagellation, you know, as you pointed out, you know, if Pope has done it, you know, it's always been, you know, a part of Catholic practice. I mean, I think... a number of things are going on. One is, I mean, you do have to ask yourself, what is the sadomasochism that's going on here? And, you know, that's almost like a question for like a clinical psychologist.
Maybe the head of the house, in Congress.
Right. But, I mean, there's another thing that, you know, I think you can say, which is we all know that, you know, when you get right down to it, there are times when you have to like, put a lid on your bodily impulses, you know, whether it involves, you know, sleeping with your best friend's wife or, waiting till you get off the highway to go to the bathroom, that kind of thing. That's just part of what it is to be human. Now, it's very, very easy to take a step and jump to the conclusion, as a number of religions have done, you know, that the flesh is innately evil and therefore ought to be punished. And I think that's what's going on with some of those, you know, penitent, you know, sects and that kind of thing.
Well, or any teenage boy and his girlfriend, Rosie Palm.
Yeah, right. I haven't heard that one before. But, so, you know, there's definitely a lot going on there. To follow up on the question a little bit more, there is Wicca, which is, as you know, sometimes said to be a survival of the old, pagan religion, sometimes said to be a modern invention. One of the most influential figures in Wicca was an Englishman named Gerald Gardner, who, was apparently into flagellation and, made it part of the Wiccan rituals. And whether this was really part of, the Wiccan rituals as practiced way back when, or whether he had, kind of gotten a taste for this in, you know, British public school is a question that's, occasionally still debated.
Well, I just should point out in passing that during the course of a time that my first wife and I edited a UFO paranormal magazine for a number of years, we came into contact with Wiccans over those years, and they never seemed to be the type of people who would do that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, there are about as many different types of Wiccans as there are Christians or anything else. So, you know, that's certainly not, but it would be true of what are called Gardnerian, Wiccans, because Gerald Gardner was the guy I was talking about, but I certainly wouldn't, you know, say that every Wiccan does that or even the most.
Yeah, Wiccans. Obviously. Richard, that leads me to another question from Conrad Hartman, one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com. To what extent do you feel that modern paganism is historically linked to pre-Christian practices, and do you feel that modern practices accurately follow these historical precedents?
Well, that's a really interesting question. One, you know, I suppose I should really only plug one book at a time, but one of my previous books is called Hidden Wisdom, A Guide to the Western Inner Traditions, which has a whole chapter on that. And I'm not going to be able to go into the whole you know, detail of it here. It is a very good and very intricate question. I think there's evidence that the old religion survived in, you know, in kind of family traditions and kind of out-of-the-way pockets. To what extent this reflects any kind of real practice of, you know, what pagans were doing, you know, in 500 AD, you know, is considerably more open to question because there just isn't a lot of data about it.
Yeah, it's impossible to really, really demonstrate any sort of connection. But here's my own sort of follow-up on that. You know, you mentioned Aleister Crowley, of course, to people that don't know who he is. It's Crowley if you think of him Fowley. Crowley if you think he's possibly holy. That's kind of my axiom. But
never
you mentioned
I've never heard that one either.
Yeah. Well, that was Crowley's own sort of a disclaimer. But, you know, Aleister Crowley, I think, is a seminal figure of the post sort of Victorian age. He helped, you know, sort of dismantle the staid, you know, very anal sort of Victorian social structure and mores of that particular time period. Now, someone like a Crowley who was able to integrate the Eastern tradition with the Western tradition in his particular tarot deck, the Thoth deck, do you consider someone like an Aleister Crowley or an Eliphas Levy, who, of course, was a predecessor of Crowley's in the mid-19th century, do you consider their work as being a crucial link between the ancient sort of past and in terms of magic and esotericism and the modern age of magical thinking? We've got to do a break right here. We're with Richard Smalley, author of Supernatural, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $34.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans. And it's perfect if you're traveling or away from home. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.